To start the show today, Ronald Kessler is on the phone. He is the author of a terrific new book about the men and women whose job it is to take a bullet for the president. The book is called In the President's Secret Service, Behind the Scenes with Agents in the Line of Fire and the Presidents They Protect. Ronald, welcome to News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
What happened to the secret in Secret Service? You got 100 people to open up and talk about this job they're not supposed to talk about.
It is even more secretive than the FBI or the CIA. I've done books on those agencies, and this is the most secretive of all. But I was able to penetrate, beginning with an FBI agent who introduced me to a Secret Service agent, and then more recently a Secret Service agent who's current came forward and told me about corner cutting that's been occurring since Homeland Security took over, to the point where the president and vice president are in danger, because in the most obvious example, the Secret Service will either not do magnetometer screening, meaning metal detection, such as when you go through the security checkpoint at the airport, or they will shut it down when staffs of candidates or the White House pressure them because an event is about to start and, you know, there are still stragglers. When Joe Biden threw the first pitch at the Orioles game last April, there was no screening whatsoever. The Baltimore field office and the detail itself were outraged, and this is just one aspect. In addition to that, they have not been keeping up to date with firearms. They're not doing firearms requalification. They're not doing physical training. They will give agents physical training test forms to fill out by themselves instead of being tested. So there's a certain amount of cover up going on.
All right, let me get back, though, to the security aspect of this, which you say is endangering President Obama, Vice President Biden, and the other people the Secret Service is protecting now. Who made the decision there and why?
You know, it's hard to totally trace. It's been several directors since Homeland Security took over. It's sort of been a steady, corrosive influence where political considerations, budgetary considerations seem to take over. You know, the Secret Service budget is a ridiculously small sum, $1.4 billion, and that about half of that is for investigating counterfeiting and ATM fraud. That's the price of a half a stealth bomber, and compares with almost $800 billion for the stimulus. And yet, their mission is really to preserve democracy, because if you have an assassination, you don't have democracy. And it's not the agents. The agents are brave and dedicated, and we'll take a bullet for the president, as you said. It's the management. And, you know, why did the SEC ignore very specific tips about the Madoff fraud? It's the government just being out to lunch.
And is this happening at a time where the Secret Service actually probably needs not just more money to continue doing its regular mission, but with our first African-American president actually has to do more?
Exactly. In fact, threats are up 400%. Since Obama became president, as compared with when Bush was president.
How many threats do they get in the average day?
There were about 3,000 a year last under Bush, and now it's about 12,000, which is about 30 a day. And of course, most of them are not necessarily credible, but each one has to be checked out. Some of them are serious, and some people have been prosecuted. So it's a very dangerous time, and it's the last time you want to be cutting corners. When I interviewed former agents up to the level of deputy director, they were outraged when they heard that this was going on. They said they never would have allowed this under their watch. And also, you know, it was because there was no magnetometer screening or metal detection when in Reagan's time that Reagan was shot, because Hinckley was able to just go through with his pistol and begin shooting. After that, the Secret Service did start to do metal detection, but now, again, they're cutting corners.
Well, when Hinckley shot Reagan, it was on the outside. It was outside the Washington Hilton. So could he have been put through a metal detector on the outside?
Well, it would have, you know, today they wouldn't have allowed that. They would have had him, they wouldn't have allowed bystanders to just be out there within shooting distance. They would have had him inside. They would have screened him through magnetometers and simply not allowed that.
We'll talk more with Ronald Kessler about his book, In the President's Secret Service, when we come back from this break on the Dory Monson Show with Paul Harris on News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. Paul Harris for Dory Monson. Talking with Ronald Kessler. His book is called In the President's Secret Service, Behind the Scenes with Agents in the Line of Fire and the Presidents They Protect. In the last segment, he says that the Secret Service has had to have its budget cut. There have been cost cutting since they were pushed into the Department of Homeland Security, as opposed to the days when they were part of the Department of the Treasury. And that is probably putting at risk the President of the United States and the other people who they protect on a regular basis. Aren't you afraid that in writing this book and telling these stories, Ronald, that you're giving away too much inside information and endangering even more the lives of those people?
Well, that's a good question, but the answer is that tomorrow, or in fact in the next hour, the Secret Service could in fact start doing what they always did, which is to not take a chance, and then there would be no security problem. They could start doing the magnetometer screening at all events. And in the case of Joe Biden, for example, he doesn't like security, so he has been insisting on just two Secret Service vehicles in his motorcade instead of eight. Well, again, that's in the book, but he can go back to eight, which is what Cheney had, tomorrow.
People who are being protected by the Secret Service get to decide what level of protection they're going to accept when they're in high office?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, they're the boss, and they can do what they want. But you're right, the Secret Service should be insisting that proper protection be provided. You know, you can imagine if one of them were assassinated, we had another Warren Commission, and it turned out it was because, you know, Biden didn't like having enough protection, or because the Secret Service decided to cut corners and turn off the magnetometer screening. It's just, you know, as if you were going on a plane and the TSA decided to stop putting passengers through metal detectors. I mean, it's crazy.
You said before that there were 3,000 threats a year under President Bush, and there have been 12,000 just in the first 6 months of the Obama presidency. Are there attempts on a president's life that we never learn about?
There are, and I go into some of them in the book. For example, there was an attempt by Hezbollah to kill President George H.W. Bush after he left the White House when he was going to Lebanon. And the CIA picked up on the plot, and the Secret Service changed routes, etc. There was also a really bizarre tale involving a psychic who said that when, again, George H.W. Bush was going to go to Enid, Oklahoma to give a speech, she had a vision that he was going to be assassinated by a sniper on an overpass. And of course, you know, the Secret Service was embarrassed to be listening to a psychic, but local police said she'd been very accurate in the past. She'd actually led them to dead bodies. And when the Secret Service interviewed her, she provided amazing details about what was to happen. She knew that the president's limo was already in town, where it was, what hangar it was in. She knew what Bush was going to be wearing when he got out of Air Force One. So as a result of that, the Secret Service changed the motorcade route so it did not go under any overpass. And you can understand why, especially when you read all the details in the book. It was a pretty fascinating episode.
Speaking of attempts on president's life, Gerald Ford had to put up with two of them, Sarah Jane Moore and Lynette Squeaky Fromm. And I just read yesterday that she is going to be released from federal prison next weekend. What does the Secret Service think about somebody who they've arrested for trying to kill the president of the United States, and now that person's getting out of jail? You know, John Hinckley has been trying to get unsupervised passes out of the nut house that he's in Washington, D.C. Do these agents that you talk to figure once we catch them and put them away, they should never be free again?
Absolutely. It's crazy to take a chance like that and not have the deterrence that comes with a life sentence. And on Hinckley, you know, he actually has been allowed unsupervised visits back home, and the Secret Service has had to conduct surveillance of him to make sure he doesn't go anywhere near the president, which is, of course, just a waste of manpower.
Yeah. You know, when they said they were going to be unsupervised, the first thing I thought was, yeah, right. There's going to be somebody. If they're not supervising, they're certainly watching. They got to keep an eye on them. They're keeping an eye on a lot of people, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and the agents themselves are brave and dedicated, and they'll take a bullet for the president. That's what happened when Reagan was shot, but it's the management that's been the problem.
You write in the book that the agents considered Richard Nixon the strangest person they ever had to protect. Why?
He would just do bizarre things. For example, agents were watching him watch TV at San Clemente after he left the White House, and he was feeding dog biscuits to his dog, and then he picked up one of the biscuits, he looked at it, and he put it in his mouth, and he ate it. Another time, he loved to have fires going in his fireplaces all the time, even in the summer, and this time at San Clemente, he made a fire. He forgot to open the flue damper, and the whole house filled with black smoke, and these two agents came running. One of them said, "Where is the son of a bitch?" And then from another room, they heard this voice, "Son of a bitch is over here. I'm trying to find matching socks before I go out." I mean, literally.
Nice. Who was the president that they really didn't like? A guy who they could not stand. They have to protect him, but they couldn't stand him.
Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was phony. He would not even say hello to agents. He told the Secret Service Uniform Division not to even say hello to him in the morning on his way to the Oval Office. It was just too much bother to say hello to someone. He would pretend to carry his own luggage, but actually it was either empty or he would...
get out of here.
Cameras. I'm serious. This is on-the-record quotes from the agents who saw it. And at other times, he would go into the Oval Office at 5 in the morning or 6, and he would tell the press office to tell the press that he was in there working hard for the American people, and then he would fall asleep on the sofa.
I got to take another break. We'll be back in a moment with more stories from Ronald Kessler. The book is In the President's Secret Service. I'm Paul Harris for Dory Monson on News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. So they hated Jimmy Carter, thought Richard Nixon was weird, are underfunded, which may be putting the current president of the United States at risk. Ronald Kessler's book delves into all of this. It's called In the President's Secret Service, Behind the Scenes with Agents in the Line of Fire and the Presidents They Protect. And since you've got In the Line of Fire in your title, I'm curious, did you ever ask any of these guys what they think of the Secret Service movies, like that one with Clint Eastwood and John Malkovich, or the Michael Douglas movie The Sentinel, or any of the others?
Yeah, they think In the Line of Fire especially was very accurate. In fact, I mentioned that in the book, and use it as an example of the foolishness that is now occurring, because in the Line of Fire, the chief of staff, the president, ignored the Secret Service's warning that they should not go to Los Angeles. But of course, they did, and that's where this assassination almost took place. Well, you see the same thing with the Secret Service now, taking the chance, ignoring just common sense, and allowing, and especially bowing to pressure from candidates to let crowds in without magnetometer screening or metal detection.
And a lot of that is political pressure, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's what it comes down to. And, you know, these are people who just want to, you know, collect their paycheck and eventually get a nice high-paying job in the private sector. It's really sad. I think of it as being like what happened when specific tips were given to the SEC about the Madoff scandal, and they ignored that. It would have been very easy to check that out, and they just didn't.
Let's talk about some of the children that have been in the White House. You got Sasha and Malia Obama in there now. You had Jen and Barbara Bush, who kind of had a wild child reputation during George W. Bush's presidency. Chelsea Clinton during the Bill Clinton years. Did the Secret Service have a problem with any of these?
Oh, yeah, big time with Jenna and Barbara. They didn't like Secret Service protection. They would try to evade the details, especially Jenna. She would go through red lights trying to evade the Secret Service and would not tell them where she's going. One time, she and Henry Hager, who was her boyfriend and is now her husband, were at a Halloween party in Washington, and he became so drunk that the agents had to take him to Georgetown University Hospital. Another time, he almost got into a brawl at a bar in Georgetown, and they had to intervene. married Cheney, one of Dick Cheney's daughters, also very difficult. She would insist that agents take her friends to restaurants. When the detail leader refused, as he should have, she had him removed as a detail leader. Again, you know, Secret Service backing down to pressure never should happen. This is someone who was doing his job. And Chelsea Clinton, just the opposite. She was a model of a first child, obedient, didn't cause any trouble. And by the way, Barack Obama is very respectful of agents, treats them with consideration, so is Michelle. But Obama is still smoking on a regular basis, despite his claim that he stopped.
Oh, it's not an occasional cigarette?
No, not true.
He's stepping out onto the portico and having a few every day?
Exactly.
What did these guys know about Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky? I mean, these are the guys who are there all the time. There's always an agent nearby. They had to know, right?
Well, they had suspicions, but they didn't really see anything. You know, he's pretty cagey. So, but I do have an episode after he admitted on TV to the Monica affair and what happened afterwards when he went back to Martha's Vineyard to see Hillary. It was not a pretty sight.
What about JFK and Marilyn or LBJ, who was having all of these affairs behind Lady Bird Johnson's back? Did the Secret Service have to be even more discreet in those days than they do these days?
Well, in all those cases, they should be discreet. And, you know, this is the first time they've actually talked. It's true. But the one time Lady Bird actually caught Johnson having sex with a secretary in the Oval Office, and Johnson blew up at the Secret Service and said, "You should have warned me," and insisted that they install an alarm system so they would warn him the next time this happens. He was so out of control, he would go onto Air Force One and strip naked in front of his daughters, in front of Lady Bird, in front of his secretaries. He would urinate in front of female secretaries at the ranch, reporters at the ranch. One time he was late when he was vice president for a meeting with JFK. He insisted that the Secret Service agent drive up on the sidewalk where there were pedestrians coming out of work to try to get there faster. The agent refused, and Johnson hit him on the head with a newspaper and said, "You're fired." Just one crazy thing after another. And, you know, one agent said, if he were not president, he would be in a mental hospital. That's the way he acted.
Wow. Before I let you go, tell me quickly about our most recent three presidents, the ones who preceded Joe Biden. That'd be Dick Cheney, Al Gore, Dan Quayle. Their relationship with the Secret Service and vice versa.
Gore did not have a very nice relationship with the Secret Service. Everyone in the Secret Service has heard the story of Gore bailing out his son and over some grades and saying, "If you don't watch out, you'll end up like him," pointing to the Secret Service agent who was there to protect his life. Perpetually late, just like Bill Clinton, he would try to, and then when he was late, he would try to get the Secret Service to speed up, use sirens. They wouldn't do it, and so the agents would pretend that they're going to speed up. They would say into the microphones, "You know, okay, let's speed it up," but they wouldn't push the button on the microphone.
All right, and Dick Cheney and Dan Quayle, something quickly.
Dick Cheney treated agents well, so did Quayle. Lynn Cheney also, you know, very, very highly thought of by the Secret Service, as was Laura Bush.
Well, not only is it an entertaining read, but I hope that it actually does get things changed inside the Department of Homeland Security, because this is one of the most important jobs law enforcement has in this country. And if they're being lax in their job, and if it's because of budget constraints, that's absolutely ludicrous. The book is called In the President's Secret Service, Behind the Scenes with Agents in the Line of Fire and the Presidents They Protect. I hope you actually change things with this book. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Ronald Kessler here on the Dory Monson Show with Paul Harris on News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM.